Hey there, Hoops fans! I did it, Jeff. it's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you for another episode of NBA Takedown here on a white Monday. Jeff, how you doing, brother?
I am snowed in, but not shut down.
That's a good combo.
Yeah, I mean, it was that second part of the combo was fighting for his life last night because we lost power intermittently about 3 separate times.
Seriously?
But it held up. Yeah, I think the turbines here were in a steel cage match with this blizzard, but they ended up victorious.
So we're in, I don't even know what township in Long Island. We're in Garden City. I think I've said that before. Andrew's always like, don't reveal like even what state you live in to people on the internet.
To get doxed.
Yeah. He's like, he doesn't want me to tell people like what coast he's living on. He shrouded it. He's like Batman.
Right.
We haven't lost anything. I was out there shoveling my little ass off at 8 a.m. And my wife is like, why are you shoveling? It's still snowing. I'm like, if I don't start shoveling now, there will just be more snow to move around later. So,
yep.
But as I was doing that, I saw the plow go up and do its thing.
Nice.
Speaking of plows, I don't know where I was going with that.
That is a wild segue.
That's something about it made sense in my mind.
That segue is insane, bro.
Inappropriate.
How you doing, Sean?
I'm okay.
You're underwater a little bit, but yeah.
Oh, hold on.
That's okay. Here, I'll go back to Jeff. Because it's been a little while since we've talked, so I'll filibuster with Jeff while you figure out your internet situation. How you been, man? It's been a couple weeks since we've been on here.
I know. I'm being good, man. Just chilling. Enjoyed the All-Star break. Back at it for this stretch run. But other than that, I just been maintaining, man. Just figuring out life and moving along. So I think that's what the main idea of this life thing is. Second half of the year.
Speaking of the main idea of this life thing, I owe you, I don't know what I owe you, something, because you set me down the straight and narrow with your life, your approach to life plan.
Oh.
Spreadsheet, smart goals, the whole thing. And I am down 5 pounds in the new year.
Oh, come on. Let's go.
Giddy
up. I love it.
Yes. And I actually owe a debt of gratitude to Sean too, who just disappeared for a minute, but he'll be back because it was his turn 44 and fall off a cliff article there in New York Magazine that also, so it's really both of my NBA Takedown co-hosts here that are really helped me out. Glad you enjoyed the All-Star break. We're not going to talk about All-Star. I just want to know, very, very simple answer of the approximately, I guess what, about 10, how many total hours of like basketball coverage was there on All-Star weekend? Like 8, 9, 10? If you factor in Friday night?
If you factor in Friday night, you'd say about, yeah, you could say 10. You could round up to 10.
Okay, let's round up to 10. Out of those 10, approximately how many hours did you watch?
I'd probably say about 3 or 4. I watched the All-Star game.
Okay.
I watched All-Star Saturday night. Yeah, actually, yeah, probably like 5 or 6. I watched All-Star Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Night.
Okay.
I watched the All-Star game. I skimmed celebrity and all of that. Like, I that's not really my jam. Like, I just can't. First of all, the celebrities ain't lit like that anymore. And then on top of it, it was just, the HBCU game, I actually went in person last year, and it was pretty fun.
Really?
You know, still college basketball, but it was still pretty fun. Just for the culture of,
sure,
of the HBCU games in itself. Like, it's more experiential than anything, especially when you're in person. But for me, I'll say it helped a great deal that them games came on at 5 o'clock, like Saturday and Sunday, because you got to watch it and then go on with the rest of
your day.
Yeah. So that helped. Had this started at 8 o'clock, like normal East Coast time, I probably only tap in for shooting stars and 3-point contest and then go about my day.
Sean is back. Hello, Sean.
I'm back. How do I sound now?
You sound great, and you look great, and you always look great, and you always.
Thank you. Forgot to get off Wi-Fi.
Listen, man, it's that kind of a day. It's all good. We're making it do. We're making it work. How did you enjoy All-Star Weekend? How you been? What's going on?
So I watched the least amount of All-Star Saturday Night as I ever have. Part of it was because it was on Valentine's Day and there were plans that had to be, you know, taken care of. But like, I got home and I just went on YouTube and just watched, like, shout to Chaz NBA, who's like on it with his NBA videos. I just watched like the slam dunk contest because the slam dunk contest always has the most upside. So I'm still a sucker for it. I saw the shooting star. I saw that the Knicks had won the shooting stars competition. That was great. As for the game on Sunday, to Jeff's point, 5-8 is way better than, especially for the All-Star game, instead of like 8:30 to like 11. But I watched the whole game. All four quarters. And while I actually like the format in terms of if you make it four 12-minute games, then there's less time to fool around because it's like, all right, well, you can't screw around and be silly for like a quarter and a half, because if you do that, the game is over. I think Anthony Edwards intended to show up to absolutely dick around and play around and do foolishness. And then the tall guy from France is like, all right, if you do that, I'm going to embarrass you. And then sometimes bullying works. So that was All-Star Weekend for me. I overheard you guys talking about shoveling. I got up 8:30 this morning, started to shovel. So I took care of that. I'll be out there after this. And you're welcome for the spreadsheet, because the spreadsheet has done wonders for my life.
Jeff, we both got to send Jeff thank you gifts. I watched, I think it was about a 30-second clip of the Knicks winning the Shooting Stars competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I may have seen a highlight from the All-Star game. So I consumed approximately 75 seconds of All-Star coverage last weekend.
I think the format works. I just think I think they should have two USA teams, a Europe team, and a world team, and just make it a bracket. Just make it a bracket, because the old guys, the TMOGs, definitely got worn down. They were over it at the end. They were just tired. They didn't have it. Didn't have it. So, like, listen. You played so it's a bracket knockout style. You play, so at most everyone plays two games, and then you get really high quality basketball from all the teams, because the championship game should have been better, but it's clear old ass LeBron and old ass KD and old ass Kawhi, they ran out of gas. But wouldn't give up any shots. And then Jaylen Brown's like, "Ooh, me, I want shots too." And Jaylen Brown's just like in the corner, like, "Really? All right, whatever."
This does feel crazy.
this All-Star Weekend did enough to the point where I will consider next year scheduling around, like, I will schedule to watch. Like, the honest reason why I didn't watch any of the stuff was because there were other things on the docket for when we got down to Florida, as is often the case when you travel with small children and you're visiting your mom for the first time in several months. But I dig that it was competitive. I'll be honest with you, I miss still the East and West battling each, like, that used to mean something. It was like, oh, who's gonna win, the East versus West? And now it's obviously a very different situation. I don't know if they should go back to that. I think your suggestion is probably the best, Sean. Although the other thing, like, they didn't bill it as OGs versus the young guys. That's how the rosters worked out, but
they didn't bill it that way. But it was clear that was the delineation, because even if you go on NBA.com, like NBAstore.com, and they sell the jerseys, and it says, like, I forget which one was Stars and Stripes, but I think the OGs were Stripes, and it says on the website, like, Team Stripes is like the old guard or something like that. So they did that on purpose, the league.
They're heading in the right direction. That's yes. I'll give them that. They're heading in the right direction, and we'll see. Maybe next year I'll watch. Okay, we're doing a likability draft today. I will get back to why we are doing a likability draft in a moment. But first, let us see if we have any takes to get off.
2-1-0 ignition lift off.
I'm going to start. I'm going to just keep it simple here. I'm going to pay my debt of respect to the Detroit Pistons begrudgingly. And my takeoff take is that tonight, in a game between the aforementioned Detroit Pistons and the San Antonio Spurs, is the best remaining game of the regular season. And I think it is because both teams are on winning streaks. Depending on games played for SGA and Jokic, it is possible that we are seeing a battle between the guys who will wind up finishing 1 and 2 in MVP this season. And there are obviously some other games as we get later in the standings, but I think there's enough. We haven't yet gotten to the point in the regular season where it's like, let's just get to the playoffs. Both teams will be trying. Both teams are mostly healthy, although the Detroit guys are still suspended. Although clearly, as we saw the other night against the Knicks, that may not matter. So I'm actually excited to watch this tonight. And I think it's the best game we got left on the slate, especially since the OKC guys are injured. And I know Detroit plays them a couple times in the next week and change. So, yeah, that's my take.
Can I respectfully disagree?
I was hoping somebody would.
Okay. I respectfully disagree. And off the top of my head,
I thought this game through, so I'm going to have pushback if you suggest another game.
Okay, I hope you would. In terms of watchability or competitiveness, I'm assuming you're leaning towards like competitiveness, talent, level of play.
I think it's two young teams that are actively looking to prove stuff. Whereas OKC is the defending champs, and they have guys out, and like they've kind of made it known, like, yeah, we care about the regular season, but not that much. Like the Spurs are out to prove a point. The Pistons are out to prove a point. That's why I think it's this game.
So I'm not saying it's bad. In fact, disagrees is not the word I want to use, but I will submit another game.
Okay. What's your game?
And the game is on Sunday, March 29th, Sunday Night Basketball, as the New York Knicks visit the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I propose that game because, as I've said on the former Bird app, every team gets New York gets every team's best shot. Yeah. Shout out to my man Chief Ike, who says, like, the Knicks being good for this long has just broken people's brains. They still don't know how to accept it. I'm assuming that SGA will be back by then.
I would as well.
They will try. The level will be up for that game, because that will be like, these guys are coming out the East? They're going to show up, play that game. I think that game will have can be the best remaining game on the schedule.
My pushback, and this will relate to what we're going to talk about later, is there any doubt, based on the evidence we have so far this season, that the Detroit Pistons show up and play every game?
No.
Same question. San Antonio, winners of 8 in a row? Okay. Do we have some question in our minds as to whether the Knicks are going to show up and give a full effort?
Not
even
for that
in games that they're supposed to?
No, not for that game. Because the games where the Knicks, I forget who, I think Benji said about their nonchalant approach, it's for games where they feel as if they can out-talent somebody and win, or they don't have to give effort.
That's a good push.
For example, they don't, like, the way Detroit looks at New York is the way New York looks at Boston. Like, they never nonchalant their way against Boston, ever. And honestly, they'll never nonchalant their way a game against the Pistons ever again in their lives. Even next year. Like next year, you think they're gonna try and sleepwalk through a game against Detroit ever? Nope.
Well, we may find out eventually. Jeff, you be the tiebreaker. Which of these two games do you think is the better game?
I was actually going to submit Spurs Knicks March 1st, Matt.
The rematch, or not the rematch,
the rubber the match,
hybrid, the rubber match, the rubber match. Thank you. That's a fair one.
The afternoon makes it a wild card.
Yeah, it makes
it a wild card. I don't know what the strength of schedule is, the rest advantage is for the Spurs.
I'll look it up right now.
Are they on their rodeo? Is this part of their rodeo?
The rodeo tour.
Rodeo tour. The rodeo road trip.
So the game you're talking about again at New York on March 1st, the Spurs will not have played in. They're in Brooklyn on Thursday night, and then obviously the game is at MSG on Sunday afternoon. So
what's the date of the game?
March 1st.
March 1st.
That's the rodeo is from February 12th to March 1st.
Right. So, and usually it's funny because the schedule makers give the Spurs a couple of days in New York. Usually, I think that's a pre-pop edict so Pop can get out here and walk around the city and relax. I remember that was a whole thing where people were just randomly seeing Pop in Manhattan just walking around because he was getting his steps in. I'd say that one. I'm looking at the NBA schedule now. Like, is there anything else? I mean, the Spurs and the Pistons play again later on in the season, I believe.
They do.
So that can definitely be maybe there.
And the Pistons guys will be back by then. Right. So maybe that's the better game instead of the game tonight.
Cavs Pistons in 4 days. It's definitely intriguing. I'll say that.
So I think there's a lot of good stuff left. I guess we could say that there's a lot of good but stuff.
I don't think yours is all the way off base. Like it's definitely a contender.
You know,
once you
is,
get into mid March, we struggle. Lynn,
the tiebreaker for me was that both teams come into this game tonight on a winning streak. I think that's amazing.
Of course.
And I think they both are looking to again, continue to make that statement. Jeff, do you have a take you want to get off?
I do, but I kind of want to hold it because making this take will give the people I'm taking about what they want. So I'm hesitant to wield my power without the responsibility attached to it. I will just say as a tease, if you have to force a rivalry by trolling, it may not be a rivalry to begin.
Ooh. Okay. That is a good tease.
And I will keep it at that.
Sean, any takes before we do our draft?
Yes, I have one. Shout out to rapper Big Pooh on Twitter.
P-O-O or P-O-O-H?
P-O-O-H. Of Little Brother. Shout out to Little Brother.
Who tweeted last night, the NBA adopted the 82-game schedule in 1967-68. When do we get to a point where now that's too many games? I don't ever remember hearing this talking point growing up in the 80s and 90s. And to that, I say the reason why this was not a talking point is because the game was played far more differently than it is now. I saw Eddie Johnson calling these guys soft because back then we played in back to backs and we traveled in coach and yada, yada, yada. I'm going to say two things. One, look up the reason why we have 82 games. The only reason why we have 82 games is not because it's a magic number, not because it divides into something, it's not because it was a perfect divisor or dividend or whatever for certain teams, for the amount of teams in the league. It was because that was the amount of games they could fit into the schedule because back then when the main source of revenue was ticket sales, because guess what? It wasn't 82 games when the NBA first started. They just kept adding games to make more money. That's why we have 82, not this special reason that we need to protect, number one. Number two, you know what people weren't doing in the 80s and 90s? Running people off the three-point line, more sophisticated defenses, pressing people full court the entire game, taking a lot of threes, guarding a lot of threes, playing zone defense. The game is more physically taxing now than it is 20 years ago. LeBron James said himself, this game is harder now than when I started in 2003. And as much as we like to give LeBron guff, and he brings a lot of it on himself, he's exactly right. So this idea that we have to keep this magical number of 82 games because that's how they've always done it is garbage. And that's all that Stone Cold has to say about that.
I'm pretty sure another member of this panel got disagreed, on here not too
and
long
we'll
ago.
Fight about it. We'll fight about it on another episode of NBA Takedown.
I was about to say, yeah, that's
75% of the league's history has been played at 82 games. You're attacking the symptoms and not the root cause. You know what else they weren't doing in the 80s and 90s? Playing basketball all year round through AAU at multiple levels. You know why back-to-back-to-backs and back-to-backs affected the game back then? Because it wasn't as physically taxing. Maybe we eliminate the back-to-backs. Maybe we expand the rosters. Maybe we attack other problems before we say, let's just lob off games. You know what I'd love? I want to talk to NHL Twitter and NHL media to see if this is a conversation with the NHL, whether or not the 82 games is too taxing for them, because they've gotten bigger, they've gotten faster, they've gotten stronger, but they also fight in their games with impunity, and they do a lot of other stuff. So I don't think it's 82 for the sake of just saying it is. I think there are a lot of other things that you can tackle before you disrupt the economy of the whole league. And I just think nerds have infiltrated this game so much that it's people that fucking hate
the
game.
There it
is. It's people that hate the game that want to see less.
Can I? I think in between you two. My only thing is, if you're gonna lessen it below 82, have a concrete this solution. Don't make it like, don't have a solution without a clear problem you're addressing, and make sure that your proposed solution, if you do have a problem, make sure it's going to address the problem. The notion that lessening it from 82 to 75 or 72 or 65, or whatever number it is automatically going to eliminate these other problems, because people will just find different ways around. Like, it's not like if you lessen it from 82 to, let's say, 68 games, that teams are automatically going to stop doing all the shit that they're engaging in now, unless you change the rules. And what rules are you actually going to be, what rules are you going to not change, but actually be able to enforce? Because they have rules right now that are supposed to eliminate sitting guys out for fuck what knows reason, and they're not enforcing them.
So Major League Baseball has 162 games.
Great.
Which is a lot.
Yes.
But you know what you can do in Major League Baseball? You can give someone a day off and nobody cares. Like, Aaron Judge isn't playing today. He's had the day off. Nobody cares. But when NBA players take a game off, it is treated as a crime against humanity.
It's a different animal, because nobody tanks for draft picks in baseball.
Well, no. Well, tanking has, that's a different discussion. Like, I'm not talking about the players who don't play, or the difference between giving a day off because you're tired and giving your day off because of shenanigans.
So your main focus is making sure that the best players play in all the games as opposed to some or most of the games.
Yes. Like people are pushing back at 82 games. Meanwhile, LeBron play. Meanwhile, Luka plays 72. And you know what they're doing now? They're like, all right, guess what? I know the Lakers are only visiting Boston one time this year, but guess what? LeBron and AD, they're not going to play this game.
Okay.
So like, how do you know that won't happen with lesser games? And where's the scientific proof? We talk about research and all of that. They've had conflicting reports about whether or not load management is actually effective. You feel like they're still not going to load manage with 72? You think they're not going to load manage with 65? You think teams aren't going to tank? Systems were made to be circumvented, and they're going to continue to be circumvented, and we're just going to be left with lesser games. And I'm thinking about the people in the arenas, the people, ironically, who cover the fucking game and want less. What do you think is going to happen to you? What do you think is going to happen to the whole economy of the league? What do you think is going to happen to ticket prices? Let's talk about that. You think ticket prices are inflated now when it becomes a premium experience, which we're already there. So yeah, now when we there. Go to so super
that
premium,
that doesn't matter.
Then when it goes to super premium, what's going to be the talk then? This game is the most scrutinized out of every sport, and I'm sick of it.
All right, you know what? Let's ask
Chun, there's only, unless you want to try to have the league negotiate with the players union about every time a player sits out a game, they will owe that game's game check. Which that will never, ever, ever, ever fly. It's never going to happen. I'm saying it. That's what it would take. And it's never going to happen.
Let's just add more games then. Since it is, let's add more. No. Let's add more. No, let's make it 84. Let's make it 86.
We don't need
let's
to.
Make it 90.
We don't
need I, to. Wait a minute. I was told more basketball is better. That's what I was told. Why do we want less basketball?
I don't want less basketball. I do want more basketball, but we don't need to add it in the regular season.
So then let's add more games. Why?
We don't need to.
Why not? Wait, hold on. Why not?
Because then they haven't solved the back-to-back issue. They haven't solved the scheduling issue. There's going to be more games. You're going to get back-to-back, just like the lockout and all of that. I get what you're trying to say. What I'm saying is they don't need to arbitrarily lob off games unless you can scientifically and concrete. All of this shit is anecdotal, bro.
82
all of this
is
shit is anecdotal.
82 is an arbitrary number. It's all arbitrary.
How long have we had it?
It could be for 1,000 years. Doesn't mean it's not arbitrary.
Okay, so now we take away 15 games.
I didn't say
15. You're cool. I'm just. Okay. What's the number?
I would propose 72.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Because with 72, actually. Because every team plays between, I think it's like 10 to 15 back-to-backs. So if you get it on to 72, you can reduce the back-to-backs, and maybe you have like 2 or 3 a year.
What is precluding them from reducing the back-to-backs now?
Then you'd have to make the season longer, which I'm not opposed to.
You would have to stretch out the season.
Can we reach a compromise?
No.
If you eliminate it, so what did the NFL do several? Correct me if I'm wrong. The NFL eliminated some preseason games. So they eliminated multiple preseason games to add one more game,
they,
right?
They got rid of one, and they added...
So basically, one of those preseason games count.
They added a bye week, right?
You want to think about it like
no,
that.
No, they didn't add a bye week.
Yeah, there's 2 bye weeks, Sean.
There is not 2 bye weeks. No. In the regular season, there's 1 bye week.
That was a proposal.
That was a proposal. I remember that. I'm getting confused. Okay. Eliminate the preseason in basketball. Start the season when you currently start the preseason, and that'll stretch out the length of time. And honestly, you could even probably push because right now the finals usually starts around June 1st.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So why can't you push that out even more? And why can't you start the finals more around like June 10th? Like, my point is there's a way to keep 82 and still and still eliminate back to backs, I think.
And players will still. You're talking about players load manage. Players will still load manage.
They'll load manage despite the numbers, Sean.
But then that's not why. Oh, we should keep it because they're gonna load manage anyway. It's like.
So we should eliminate it because they're load managing.
I didn't say anything about load managing. What I'm saying is the concept of load managing is a bad word in the NBA, and it's not a bad word in other sports.
Okay, so what does that have to do with reducing the games? Problem.
No, because you no.
Because nobody takes advantage of it in other sports like they do.
Right, but wait, that's what I'm saying.
Define take advantage. So when Aaron Judge doesn't play the second game of a three game series, he's not taking advantage of anything.
But you know what? You're right, Sean, because it's part of baseball culture to take days off. Cal Ripken was the one that broke everybody's brain because he just
no, it didn't. No.
Cal Ripken. No, I'm saying on the other end where it was like he was the outlier because he just never took a break and just was like, I'm going to keep playing and play through all those injuries. In baseball now, funny enough, all their analytics, all their stuff are saying, yeah, you may want to use your roster and give a guy a day off here and there or switch him up in the lineup or do these things.
That's not analytics. They're doing that's all been of that doing that for 100 with, years.
Okay.
That's part of their culture.
But it's also, that's what I'm saying. That's part of their culture of baseball. Culture of basketball is, hey, we don't get to see you in 5 separate road trips. We only get to see you a certain amount of time. So if you take off, if you're taking off and it's not because of injury, then those fans who don't get a chance to see you are going to get screwed. And then on top of that, then you get into the competition aspect of it.
I think when the number one reason to do something is that's how we've always done it, then it should be. That's not what I'm saying.
It's the culture.
And it's like, well, the culture starts because that's how it's always been done.
So should baseball eliminate games?
I actually think baseball should. When you realize the length of these seasons, No. Hold on. What I'm saying is the reason why these seasons are the lengths that they are is not because they sat down and was like, okay, what's the perfect number? It's all because of money.
No one's disagreeing with that. But now that they are the way they are.
144 games, I'm not going to lose my shit.
Okay.
Are you in favor of eliminating different cups in world football? Like Carabao Cup, get it out of here. Community Shield, get it out of here. If it means less football for those players.
I think the EFL Cup should only include Premier League teams.
Then it would be the...
Then it's... No, then it's the championship. It's the lower level.
So it'd be like the NBA Cup then.
No, not include the Premier League team. So it's
oh, so just everybody outside of the Prem.
Yeah, yes. Because there's too many games. You went to all the places where there's too many games? Soccer. Too many games. Too many. But you know why they play all the games they play? Money.
Yeah. You know, listen, one more point on the baseball comp, just because I feel like if Aaron Judge sits out a game, it's obviously going to be disappointing for some fans who go to that game, and there might, you know, a little bit disappointing for people who tune into that game. I don't think the impact of Aaron Judge sitting is anywhere on the same level as if your team's best player in the NBA, almost doesn't even matter who that best player is, but if your team's best player sits out an NBA game, it decreases. Like any game we on League Pass, if we are flipping around at night and we pick any team, and take the best player off that team, your anticipation and excitement about watching that game is going to go down, I don't know, 50%, 40%, like a really significant. Whereas in baseball, Aaron Judge is out, pick two or three other Yankees. If the Yankees pitcher, starting pitcher that day, goes out there and has his stuff, it might still be a great game, a great game the Yankees are going to win. It's a different situation in basketball. So I
think if you bring your kid to see LeBron James, he doesn't play. Yes, he can still see a great game, but I came to see LeBron James.
Yeah, exactly.
If I went to a game to see Aaron Judge and I don't see my kid doesn't see Aaron Judge, yes, he'll see a great game, but my kid will be disappointed that he saw Aaron Judge, that he didn't get to see Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is going to get four plate appearances out of. Whatever the final number is going to be, 40, 35, or whatever it is. LeBron James is usually going to be on the court for 35 out of 48 minutes. It's different.
But those four plate appearances are what my son wants to see. He wants to see those four. Like, if we're going to drill it down to, like, this specific player, he's not going to give a shit that Trent Grisham went 2-for-3 for a double. He was there to see Aaron Judge, and Judge didn't play. That's what I'm saying.
There's also an experiential element of baseball that's a little bit different than basketball.
I completely agree, Jeff.
To your point, that kid may be locked in on watching Aaron Judge, and he's going to be disappointed or she's going to be disappointed. But you still got the 7-inning stretch. You still got the chance. Oh, you still got the hot dog of the game, which can immerse them in it. I'm just saying, it's more of a distraction. In
have you been to a basketball game? You talking about distractions? There's distractions every 5 minutes. Come on, Jeff.
I'm talking about the cultural aspect of the game.
I agree with Jeff, actually. I agree. I was going to make the same point.
They'd rather go in person than to watch it on TV.
The idea that, hey, Zach, I know you want to see Aaron Judge today, but don't worry. The 7-inning stretch will make up for it.
I use the word distraction and not expectation.
Like, come on, man.
There's also a financial aspect to this. Go to most baseball games in this country if you want the cheapest seats in the house, you can get in there for dirt cheap. Whereas basketball, I know there are some cities out there where it's like the get-in price is very low, but like generally speaking, it is far more expensive to get into a basketball game than it is to get into a baseball game.
When's the last time you've been to a baseball game?
It's been a hot minute.
Okay. Before you say it, like, yes, if you want to sit in row four in section 499, double Z, and be like, all right, I think that, like, yes, okay, you can have that.
But that's to Jeff's point about the experiential factor of just like you're going to a bit. Okay. We can talk about this for another hour. We have to do this, Jeff, which is going to be the quickest draft in content creation.
I take full responsibility.
No, that was good. I this is this conversation is not over. All right, we're doing the likability draft. The reason we're doing the likability draft is because I said some very unkind things about the Knicks on Thursday night, which I have not talked to either of you about, by the way. But I'm sure it'll come up in the course of this draft. And I thought it'd be fun to draft the most likable teams in the NBA because it's going to get at the heart of like what actually does make a team likable. So here's how we're going to do the draft. We're each going to get I'm going to actually pivot on the fly. We're each going to get four picks. And it's going to be, there's going to be four categories, and then one of those is going to be wild card. Here are the three categories. I shared this with you guys. Contenders, which are the 10 teams in the league that currently have at least a 60 winning percentage. So the top six teams in the West and top four teams in the East. Lotto teams, and which are obviously the teams that are currently outside of the top 10 in each conference, and then the pretenders, which are the other teams left over. We're each going to draft one team in each of those categories and then one wildcard team. So your wildcard team could be a team from any of the three tiers, could be any NBA team. And as I shared the idea with you guys yesterday, it's likability. And Sean, you asked me, well, is it how much we like to watch them if they're on any given night, or is like how much we would like them if we were a fan of the team? And I kind of was like, let's factor in both. So that, those are the only rules. Any questions before we get started?
Do you have the list of your breakdown by category?
Just pull up the NBA standings. It's
got you. Okay.
The contenders tier, top six in the West, top four in the East. Those are the only 10 teams in the league that have won at least 60% of their games. The
middle 10 tier, and bottom 10.
And then middle tier and bottom tier. Okay. The draft order is as follows based on scientific method of little scraps of paper. First pick goes to Sean. Second pick goes to Jeff. And the third pick goes to me. Sean, what's the most... what's the most likable team in the league? Who's the first pick in your likability draft?
The first pick, I think... I will go with the San Antonio Spurs.
That was going to be my first pick.
And I will go there because they have a rising super duper star in Victor Wembanyama. They have lots of young talent. Everyone loves young talent. You know, so shout out to Stephon Castle, shout out Devin Vassell. And their best player has convinced everyone on his team that they should hate with the passion of a thousand suns, the reigning defending NBA champion Oklahoma City Thunder, to the fact that they beat them three times in 10 days. So of the top 10 teams, I think they are the most likable.
They would have been my first pick. Jeff, you are up next. Who's your first pick in the likability draft?
Ooh, okay. Looking at this now, I feel like... I could go chalk.
I don't even know if there is a chalk pick, so that, I'm very
there's
curious.
There's another pick, but I didn't pick them out of spite.
Pick them out of spite.
Well, if I picked them, it would have my reasoning would have been sarcastic. There would have been sarcastic reasoning all over it, and I didn't want to do that today.
Well, don't reveal that.
I'm not gonna say.
All right. My first pick in the likability draft, I'm going to go with OKC.
Interesting.
And I'm going to go with OKC because it don't matter who's playing. You're going to get a good game. These guys didn't have Caruso, J-Dub, and Shea. And they were putting the beats on the Cavs. And you could tell that they like playing with each other. They like hooping with each other. They like hooping with each other. They enjoy each other as teammates. I know that people say that the whole everybody gets together of the post game can get a little corny. I mean, that's part of sports. Sports is corny rituals and stuff like that too. So I just think that's why I said I'll go Chuck for the first one. I have some out of the box ones, but I do think like if you see a Thunder game on League Pass or you're just scrolling, it doesn't, to your point earlier from our previous discussion, John, doesn't really matter. When Shea is in, when J-Dub is in, you're going to see fantastic high-level hoops, but they will give you a good game. no matter regardless of who it, and it also becomes like a guessing game where you're like, who's going to step up today, who's going to be the main character today. So I think that's pretty interesting.
I love your logic. The one pushback I think you could give is that there is a lot of hate from the quote unquote common NBA fan about SGA's supposed foul grifting. and yet I think because of your logic, they're a deserving second pick. And also more importantly than that, and this is really at the spirit of like this draft for me, I feel like Thunder fans love their team as much as any team's fan base loves their team.
Hey, it's the closest you're going to get to a college atmosphere in the
100%.
And if you've ever been, I would recommend going to a game in Oklahoma City. It's surreal.
I so badly want
it's surreal.
Yeah, we have some new neighbors here in where we are in Long Island that they have family in Oklahoma City, and they've told me about the experience of going to the game. It sounds like a blast. Okay, you guys have each taken teams in the good category, the contender category, which makes my decision easier because I have back-to-back picks here, and I'm going to go a little bit off the board. My first pick is going to be, with all due respect to the Boston Celtics, who are certainly not going to get drafted by me in this draft. I think the best story in the NBA this year remains the Phoenix Suns. They're going to be my pick in my pretenders tier, which they are, by the way, just barely in the pretenders tier because they have dropped they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. So they're under 60% winning percentage, which where they were above that for most of the year. They play hard every single night. And I think they get bonus points after probably being for a couple of years one of the most unlikable teams in the NBA from both the casual fan perspective and by their own fan base. And so their season this year reminds me a lot, and I think we've made this comp before, of like the We Here Knicks, in their fans are like, oh my God, I forgot life could be like this. And there's just an absolute love affair. And the best part, again, Jeff, this goes back to your point about OKC. It doesn't even matter who is playing for the Suns on any given night. Like, they had the win the other night with Dylan Brooks was out there, Devin Booker was out, and Jalen Green, after an awful game, hits probably the best game winner of the season. So they just have something cool in the water, new coach, like there's still like a shine to it. So they're going to be my first pick. And then I think this is in the crap category, the lottery category. I think this is by far the top pick for this. And I'm going to go with the Indiana Pacers, who have the second worst record in basketball, but like coming off a finals run, it's a delightful team. They have an excuse because of all the injuries, no Haliburton, the whole thing. And they just, they play the right way, to use an overused term. So they're going to be my pick in the lotto category.
All right. Is it back on me?
It is back on you.
So it's, we pick one from contender, one from
pretender, one from lotto, and then a wild card. So you could take another good team off the board in your wild card category if you want.
I know they're not going to be. This is like, the running back is up now, and I'm like, shit, I'm running back. If I let the running back go, I'm going to be.
Yes, I'll think yourself, son.
Oh, man. All right, fuck it. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay, interesting. I'm gonna have a take on this, but talk on it.
Minnesota Timberwolves.
So they're your wild card, to be clear.
They're my wild card.
Okay.
Love seeing Ant-Man hoop. Closest thing I get to seeing a West Coast version of the Knicks. You get old friends Dante, old friend Julius Randle. Their games seem to be on stupid finish alert a lot.
So that's why I'm surprised you went here, because I don't know how many Timberwolves fans you've talked to this year, but the experience of being a Timberwolves fan this season has been not too dissimilar from the experience of being a Knicks fan this season.
I enjoy my Knicks fan experience. Overall,
you do.
So I don't really subscribe to that.
My point is there have been a very high number in proportion to their total losses, there have been a high number of dispiriting losses for the Timberwolves, where they've either lost in crazy fashion or like last night, they lost by 27 points to the it was not a great team that they played.
Pels? Was it the Pels?
No. I had the freaking game on and I can't even remember. But they didn't have El Gobert, so they have a little bit of an excuse. Oh, to the Sixers. That's right. So that's the only pushback I would give.
Yeah, but you know what? That doesn't affect me because I don't have a emotional tie to the Timberwolves. I know I'm going to get a good game one way or another. Something crazy is going to happen. Ant-Man is going to go off. Love seeing Dante out there scrapping and his shots. Naz Reid is a very intriguing player. He's just an intriguing player. And ever since the co-sign, you know, I got to watch what Jaden McDaniels does. And also I'm intrigued to see what Io does with them. So I just think overall, like, you're going to get a good game one way or another. And I like watching Ant-Man. He's one of my favorite players in the league.
That was an Ant-Man pick, it feels like, for you.
Very much so. Yeah. Definitely heavily weighted on watching Ant-Man hoops.
Okay. Sean, you have two.
Okay, so for my pretenders column pick, I will go with the Charlotte Hornets.
Fuck. Oh, I knew I should have picked Charlotte. Yes,
Minnesota would have been there for you, dude.
Yeah, Minnesota would have been there for you.
That was a 50-50 coin flip, and I went the wrong way, but that's okay.
It was between them and someone else, and I'll reveal that at the end. But you want to talk about a We Here season. Now, their We Here season started like January 3rd.
Listen, hold on. The We Here Knicks weren't as down bad as the Hornets, but they were an under 500 team when they traded for Derrick Rose.
Yes, but I remember the Knicks. That Knicks team started. They started 8-8 though. That I do remember.
They started, I want to say, like 2-5 or 3-5, and then they got on a little bit of a roll. Yeah.
They were 2-5. Then they got to 5-5. Then they got to 5-8, and then they got to 8-8.
Yes. That's correct.
So like the first 16 games, it was like there's something's going on here. Like, I remember they beat the snot out of the Bucks by like 20 something. Like,
we didn't know they were good yet. We thought this is fun, you know, but yeah.
Whereas for the first 2 months of the Hornets season, it looked like same old Hornets. And then here we are. So yeah. I place a bet on them to make the playoffs at like plus 500. So there's extra additional likability for me. But yeah, I think it's Hornets without a doubt.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no. You go.
I said you also got to factor in the Eric Collins of it all.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah.
Yo, and you know what I like about Eric Collins? He's equal opportunity hyped. His hype for the opposition is not to the levels of, yo, I'm here watching the Hornets game, fam. Like, what are you doing? But it's almost as if he's watching the game with you in a bar and he's reacting. Like, he'll see a shot like, Brunson, no! No! Yeah. Ah! Or he'll give props. Like, when he's like, oh, gotta watch out for below. You can't be jumping with it when he's rising up. And then he keeps it even keel. But when the Hornets start going off, it's akin to Gus Johnson calling football games. Mm-hmm. Like, it just the crescendo builds and builds with excitement with what you see on the screen. So that would have been my pick, would have been as much an Eric Collins pick if I went with the Hornets as much as it is watching them and just watching them play ball.
I think other than Ian Eagle and Mike Breen, I think if you're a fan of the team, there's probably not another announcer you want calling your games more than Eric Collins. As an impartial fan, I think it's like 50. He's not my cup of tea, but I also have gotten to the point where I appreciate it because it's like it's not like he doesn't know what he's doing. Like, it's
right. And it can always be worse because some of these announced teams out there, it'd be like, come on, dog.
I would much rather have Eric Collins than
anyone in Boston.
Well, yes, but like announcers who not even pretend to be impartial, but like, you know, are just it's homerism to the nth degree and not any of the flair that Collins has. Sean, your year-long take about the Eastern Conference. Since January 1st, best four teams in the league record-wise, Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers, Detroit Pistons, Charlotte Hornets, all of those teams play in the East. and your three best teams via net rating: Detroit Pistons, Boston Celtics, Charlotte Hornets. So
take that SEC, Western Conference. And then for the bottom tier. Oh Lord.
Or you can go wild card. You do not have to go bottom tier here.
I have a wild card team. Okay. Which I don't think anyone's gonna take. You know what? I'm gonna go for the lotto teams. I'm gonna go with the team I just saw last night, the Chicago Bulls.
You're not taking the Bulls in the likability draft.
Look at these teams. Look at them. Look at them.
Memphis? I'm looking at them.
There's one other team maybe, but it's not like, you took the good team. You think I want to watch Brooklyn? You think Brooklyn is likable? You think Sacramento is likable? They hate them. Who else?
I think there's another somewhat. Well, no, all of these get complicated. Look, I took the one good pick in this category with the Pacers.
Yeah, I'm standing on business. I'll take the Bulls.
All right.
They are like a reality show.
They're not good. But
yeah, everybody's playing for a job. It's like watching reality TV. It's like you follow the Gershon Yabusele, the confessional in the booth. Well, I just didn't get the time. Now I'm looking for opportunity. And then you see him hitting the threes, and then like they interview Josh Hart. It's like, oh, Yabu, yeah, he stunk. Nah, but that's my guy though. what I'm saying? Like it is like watching like, yo, who's gonna make it? Who's gonna stay in the league? Who are the Bulls going to keep? Who are they going to flip? So I could definitely see that.
Did I set the record last night for quickest best bet hit for any of us this season?
You might have.
Because Yabu had his second three like 5 minutes into the game, I think.
It's either that or when I hit the Mikal 4 points in the first quarter.
Oh, that
like
was, yeah.
Got that, like, that it might be too. Around the same timing.
Yeah. Shout out to Fanatics. Look, here's the justification I'll give you for the Bulls, Sean. At least they're tanking now, which is their fans have wanted. So at least now they are more likable to their own fans because they are losing basketball games. That's the best justification I could give you. Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff, you have a bad team and a middling team, or a pretending.
Sure.
I didn't pick my wild card team yet.
You have one more pick.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, so if I'm going to pick, I have bad team and
pretending team.
Pretender, right?
I would pick your pretender because I don't think there's a risk of anybody.
Yeah,
me.
I'm looking
taking
at
another
it now.
Bad team.
I'm looking at it now. It's like,
but I might take someone from the pretender category as my wild card. It's the pretenders tier is tougher than it looks.
It is.
Yeah.
It is tougher than it looks. And the Hornets were a great pick, Sean. Great.
Yeah, those are excellent. All right. I'm going to choose this team. I don't know wherever they're, I think they would be considered lotto for now. I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks.
No, they're in the lot. You cannot take them as a pretender. They're in the lotto category because they're outside.
They're in the lotto.
Top
10. All right, then I'll take that. I'll take that as a lotto category. Okay. I have the lotto, right?
You could, yeah, sure. Okay,
I'll take the Milwaukee Bucks.
That's fine.
Cam Thomas is on a mission.
I forgot.
Put up as many targets as possible. And the intriguing part hasn't even happened yet because when you know who comes back. From that calf, we have to win games.
Tennessee,
here we go. We'll do the accent. That's why you took that.
They attract. I attract. I will attract wins when I come back.
Hold on. In a year full of some of the most talking, like Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, Pet Detective level, talking out of his ass, that is the most talking out of his ass thing he has said the entire fucking year.
Oh, man. Now I'm just there for the drama at this point. Like when he comes back, what's going to happen? Are they going to make one more final push? Looking at these play-in standings, and hey, don't look now, Atlanta Hawks, but that State Farm official sponsor of the play-in role might be up for grabs. Yeah, State Farm. Look, I got Jake on speed. I'm about to hit Jake right now. Like, yo, bro, you might not be in Atlanta this year.
The fact that the Bulls and the Bucks just went back-to-back picks in the likability draft speaks to how I don't know what it speaks.
Middle America, baby.
Yeah. Okay, I have two. I need to take a good team and a wild card team. Man. Okay, I'll go. So I could really go in any. I could go in any direction.
It's your world.
All right, I'm gonna take the Nuggets off the board. I think that's. I can't believe they lasted this long. Frankly, I'll take them in the good category. They have the best player in the league, who is, I would argue, the most likable superstar other than, I guess, maybe Ant. Maybe Wemby. He's up there, right?
Although people started turning him after the All-Star game. But
Who gives a shit? Doesn't care about the All-Star game? Come on.
Well, it's because, like, when he doesn't care about All-Star game, it's like, oh, it's just Jokic being Jokic. When other people don't care about the All-Star game.
That's fair.
That's what's starting the turn. But I don't think people care as much to completely turn on Joker.
Yeah.
If he starts dropping sound bites that relates to how he doesn't care, then I think you'll start to see a little bit of the turn. But
yeah. It's
like he's a sitcom character now, and people have accepted that as his identity, which is fair or unfair. They have. So I think that adds to his likability.
I agree. Everybody likes Murray. Everybody likes Aaron Gordon. Bruce Brown, colorful character. It's just a likable team. Like, and they play a good brand of basketball. If you're a casual fan, you turn on their games. Although maybe not so much in the fourth quarter yesterday against Golden State. So Denver will be my pick in my good category. And now I have the opportunity to do the funniest thing possible. Fuck it. All right. In my wild card, I will take the Knicks. So word choice matters. Unlikable, maybe not the right word choice. Frustrating, absolutely. Aggravating, 1,000%. At times infuriating. And all of those things collectively led me to say some unkind things. But part of their DNA being so up and down, so hot and cold, so unpredictable, does give them, in a way, if you pull back and you brush off the weight of expectation of this season, which was finals or bust from the opening tip, and you just take them for what they are, which is like a very, very good team that is maddening, but the highs are very high and the highs are very fun and likable. I think there's a justification there. And I just don't like any other picks on the board. So that's why I'm taking them. I want to hear both of your thoughts, though.
I thought about them. But listen, to your point, that there are things that they do that they actively choose to do that is annoying among all belief. Like, they actively choose to say, I know the Pistons have been talking cash shit about us for like 9 months and they're going to be frothing at the mouth of the playoffs. But you know what? I can't be bothered. Like, they chose to, like, so I can see why it's, but when the Knicks are on, they're on. And it's like, and that's what's like, if we did the most frustrating team in the league, they'd win by that. They'd get first.
And to be clear, that was the sentiment I was going for. And the frustration level makes them a tough team to like at times because it is so frequent.
Yes.
But they are, and that's why I wanted to do the draft. It really does get to the heart of like what makes a team likable or unlikable. The one thing that I don't consider with any of this is because a lot of people gave me shit because like, oh, they're a bunch of good guys. I don't care about that. Like, that's just me. Like, what you do, if you could be in fucking soup kitchens every weekend, that's not going to make you more likable to me as a basketball team. But in terms of just how they are to root for and all that stuff. So I'll take the Knicks as my last pick. Jeff, you have a final pick. You have to take a pretender.
Mm. Well, I'll say first off, I didn't think any of us were picking the Knicks just to recuse ourselves. So I might have changed up my picks here.
Do you want your last pick back?
I honor the integrity of the draft. So I'm not going to frozen envelope this. I hear everything you're saying. I just think that we are blinded by the frustrations that happen in every other fan base. Cause to me, you take away that 2-9, whatever stretch, and it's a normal season for a contending team. Like go tip your toes in Rockets Twitter right now.
I was about to, yeah.
Because remember, how many weeks have we had that conversation when I kept saying, yo, the Rockets are doing some wild stuff right now, and they're not getting half of the heat the Knicks are. Now they're in the furnace. They're completely in the furnace. And oh, by the way, allegedly, their top star is in group chat showing tweets.
I would add to that list, and I know they've rebounded this season, but I would add the Cleveland Cavaliers to that list. They had to trade their 20. How old is Darius Garland? 25, 26 year old, whatever he is.
Same age as, no, not same, like a year older than RJ?
Mid-20s, two-time all-star starting point guard.
Barely can rent a car.
For 36, 7, whatever the fuck he is, year old, James Harden to rescue their season and make them more likable. When you're trading for James Harden to make you more likable and better, that's a problem. And you could, I mean, and oh, and we didn't mention the Lakers. Talk about a team that
frustration, like that fan base is just like over everything.
Yes. And for once in their life, rightfully so. Like once in
it's 100% justified.
They're usually finding some BS reason why this team's gonna go. And this year they're like, nah, this ain't it. Get them out of here.
Jeff, to your point, if 2-9 instead is 5-6, did I do the math right? Yeah, that adds up to the same number. If 2-9 is 5-6, the Knicks right now are 40-18, which passes the Phil Jackson 40 wins before 20 losses test, and all of a sudden we're looking at them very differently. Yeah. But alas.
Which I still think is, you want to talk about arbitrary stuff? You want to talk about numbers that don't factor in the current game and what's been happening?
Yeah.
Hands up, I will say the 40-20 rule. And I am hoping for a lot of reasons that a lot of these narratives get broke this year. Because, boy, y'all thought y'all was going to have to block me before? But, yeah, let's go to my – I got one more – I got a pretender, right?
You got to pick a pretender, so – the teams left for you to take, just to, in case you forgot, are Orlando, Miami, Atlanta, Philly, Toronto, Golden State, Portland, the Clippers. You have to take one of those teams.
Oh my lord.
I know.
What? Yeah, this is wow.
What?
Man, oh man. Okay, you know what? Likeability. That's a water I'm not going in.
I actually think there's a semi-obvious pick here.
There am
This is in what category?
Pretender. He needs pretender? To take a pretender. Yes.
There's one. There's probably the other team I was gonna take.
You know what? I'm going to take the 76ers.
Interesting. Not the team I would have taken.
That would have been my pick 2 weeks ago.
Maxi Edgecombe. Just why? If you don't have a rooting
overpower
interest.
Overpower Embiid?
Huh?
Oh, they overpower Embiid and the guy that's currently serving a 25-game suspension for...
Hey, you get to see more of them. Cool. VJ Edgecombe is a great player, man. Like, I just like watching him play. It's like, if you talk about that, what am I going to tune in to see? It's like, oh, Maxi and Edgecombe. That's what I'm selling you on. That backcourt, when they get hot, they start cooking. Yeah, that's where I'm going with likability.
That's fine.
I'm going to go with Maxi. There was like one other pick where I was like, maybe, but that would just be more Schadenfreude than anything. So I'm going to go with like likability. Like Tyrese, Maxi, VJ Edgecombe are two of the players that I like even on Rivals.
And their fans are in love with both of them. Okay. Yeah. That means there's only one more pick left. Sean, you have a wild card pick. You could take any other team that's left on the board.
Okay. So the pretender pick that I, the other pretender pick I was looking at was the Portland Trailblazers.
I was looking at them.
I thought the Raptors were the obvious pick here.
Man.
I think their fans really like them. And I think they're enjoyable. They play defense, they play hard, they're fast.
I did that for how many years already?
We're skewed because
that's what I'm saying.
We've been on the ride one too many times. We've thrown up after the ride. We don't need to get on the ride again.
Right. Well, there's a lot of people on Raptors Twitter who are like, I think more people in the fan base are like, this team is a first round exit that has no future whatsoever. Are we doing
that's
here?
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah, they want to send Quick to Guantanamo Bay.
They want to send them all to Guantanamo because they're like, yo, what is this? Like, what is this team's ceiling?
They should have traded for Anthony Davis.
They wanted Ja Morant. They wanted to get Quick out of there for Ja Morant.
Sure they did.
Unironically.
Is Ja Morant still in the league? Is he still playing?
Bro. If you would have told me 3 years ago, we would have did a likability draft and the Grizzlies were not on the board. Kicking off the board, I would have thought you were on crack.
He was the most, crazy to say, he was like the most likable player in the league from a neutral fan.
Actually correct. All the kids loved him. All right.
Who's your pick?
So I can go anywhere. I'm surprised no one has said this because people have been blowing smoke up their ass for the last week and a half. Detroit basketball! Because apparently, scoring 40 in the MSG makes you a MVP candidate. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, we just realized that Cade Cunningham is good. Even though I, on these airwaves, said a month ago, he was the MVP of the league. Thank you, everybody. And welcome to MLK Day. But yeah, this is not even their we here season. This is their why not now season. This is their we back season. Like, they skipped the thumbs down season. God bless them. But now it's like, could they win the title? Could they
this
win the
is,
East?
No, you know what this is? This is the year the Thunder made it to the Western Conference Finals with KD, Russ, and
Harden.
And Harden. It was the year they lost to the Lakers. I believe the Lakers in the Western Conference
Dallas.
Finals.
They lost to Dallas.
Oh, that's right. 2000. Yes,
so lost 2010-11.
Because the previous year they had made the playoffs and got eliminated in the first round.
Yes,
much like this, last year, and then this year, this would be their. And correct me if I'm wrong, they were favored to beat Dallas in that Western Conference Final. Because wasn't Dallas like favored to lose like every pick?
Yes.
Was, like, every series?
Yeah. Dallas. Yes, people thought they were going to lose to Portland.
The Lakers.
Okay. But yeah, Detroit. I'm going with Detroit because
Sean. Here's my pushback. How could you watch what the fight that happened? Now some people love that shit.
I like that shit. We should bring fighting back. Let them settle on the floor. Let them settle. If they just let grown men settle it and get it over with, like they do in the other sports, like hockey and like every other sport. But you know, anytime two black guys like look like they're about to hit each other, then there's the pearl clutching goes nuts, and then we give Fox News material for a week and a half.
Doug, they wouldn't even fight. You let it go unless you Scottie Pippen Jr. because the smoke was there. Like that's when it's like, all right, we gotta enough is enough. But a lot of times they flexing or whatever. Yeah, like they whatever. But yeah, I hear you, Sean. I've told people if there were different circumstances, I would say I'd actively root for the Pistons. But between there now being concepts of a rivalry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their fucking fans and the people who cover their team.
And cover other teams.
It is getting like it. You know what? You know what? You know what?
I'm not saying names.
Connect what I just said to what I said earlier in the show about my takeoff take. It's 100% about that team and the people that, like, I'm talking about when you could be saying, yo, you know where the best steak is in New York? And you know what they'd say? You know, the last time you had a steak for a championship in New York was 53 years ago. You know, Detroit has a whole lot of steaks. They've been eating medium rare all season.
Yeah.
Fam, we're not even talking to you about you. I don't think about you at all.
I was about to say, it's the John Hamm in the elevator.
I'll say this, because I actually think the real Detroit fans, and not the ones on Twitter. But you know what? Okay. Last year the Knicks beat the Pistons, but yeah, a lot of people on Pistons Twitter were rooting for the Knicks to go forward. They respect the Knicks, like, yo, because as people don't fail to realize, when the Knicks win a playoff series, they usually find a player on another team, giving them the flowers. Did it for Maxey. We begrudgingly did it for Butler. We did it for Cade last year. And, you know, everyone loved it. People still want Spider on the team, whatever, right? So I think last year, it was one guy last year, and I'm not going to mention his name, that was going, and he was forcing it. Now you are seeing more of these engagement farmers, these rage bait farmers coming out. There's that guy, and then there's another guy, two guys who specifically cover the team, whose names I'm not going to mention because you want me to mention your name. I'm not going to do it. Okay. But now you're just seeing, and it's also just an evolution of the app that we're on, where they just shove these people in your algorithm. Like the dude who crashed out in a good way about beating the Knicks, how much he hates the Knicks, whatever. It's like, whatever. So, but I think most of the Detroit fans, the Detroit fan base, are enjoying watching their team, and they're not trying to force a rivalry,
yeah,
like the people with blue checks who the algorithm keeps putting in my timeline. Hey, the following tab is much better than the For You tab.
Yo, the For You tab got me in hell, bro. You would have thought I was a Lions fan. You would have thought I was a Michigan fan. These dudes are everywhere. Everywhere. That's how much they're trying to force, because the algorithm knows, like, I know, just don't hear that.
I just noticed that. For You and following. Oh, so I should change that.
John, that has existed for years.
I was today years old when I realized that was a thing.
You will have more fun on the app when you look at,
oh my following. God, this is so much more pleasant.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, this is great.
Sean, quick, show John fire. See his reaction.
Whoa. Okay.
This is hot.
I have made fire.
You know what we can do with this? Yo, imagine cooking. Holy hell.
We should just drop
it's,
the
it's a
the,
wheel. I invented the wheel.
I don't want to know why you have a roll of toilet paper.
When I run out of tissues and I blow my nose constantly during the wintertime, and I always run out of tissues, so I just grab toilet paper.
You screwed up the bit. I was gonna, but
it's. Okay, I gotta explain myself.
Yeah. But yeah. Detroit.
It's a wonderful pick. There's a lot of unlikable teams in the NBA. That's all I have to say. So. I was happy we did this. This was very fun. I got to go make my kids lunch in the next 7 minutes before we have a meeting. Jeff, last word before we get out of here.
This was awesome, man. We are in the home stretch of the season. Can't wait to see the matchups. There's a lot of great storylines yet to unfold. So buckle up.
Oh, I like that. Buckle up. Sean, last word from you.
If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. So if you have an issue,
ominous.
If you have an issue with something, it's okay to try to fix it or to address it. Because you know what? There are plenty of people out there that was like, we've had a lottery for 40 years. It's been fine just the way it is. We don't need to change anything. This tanking thing isn't an issue. Well, it is. And if you change it, will teams not tank? I don't know, but I know they are if we do it now. So don't be afraid to, as a wise man who went to Syracuse University, the late, great Al Davis once said, if everyone in the room is thinking the same thing, no one is thinking.
I agree.
I like that. It's good. Good quote to end it on. Jeff and Sean, thank you both. Thank you, everybody out there, for watching and listening to another episode of NBA Takedown. Obviously, you can follow us wherever you get your pods, and also on YouTube, where we are getting close to 3,000 subs. So that would be cool if you all helped us cross that barrier. Follow these guys, obviously, on Twitter, and you will see all of us doing various Knicks Film School related things over the course of the rest of the week as we shovel out from under the snow. But in the meantime, everybody take care. Oh, watch party. Sean.
Yes, we are doing a watch party for the Knicks Lakers game on the 8th of March. I have a flyer that I'm going to put up right here in a second. On the 8th of March, starts at 2:30. So if you want to do brunch, you could do brunch from 2:30 to 4. If you don't want to do brunch, you can just pull up and get drinks, whatever. Where the hell is this damn thing? It is right here. Great, yeah. Here we go. Yeah, yeah. So brunching with Brunson. Try saying that.
Brunching with Brunson.
Yes. So if you want to do brunch, you can do $50 Bahamas brunch from 2:30 to 4. If you don't want to get drinks, just pull up. The first 25 people show up, the RSVP will get a free neutral bucket. There's a picture right then and there. So if you want to have drinks, you want to have food, you want to have brunch, you have bottomless brunch, Sunday, March 8th, 2:30 p.m. at Penn 6, 132 West 31st Street, Midtown Manhattan, a half a block from Madison Square Garden. Shout out to Sophie Dash PR helping us out. Shout out to good people at Penn 6. Hope to see you there. Make sure you RSVP, tinyurl.com/KFSbrunch. That is tinyurl.com/KFSbrunch.
And if you didn't write down the tinyurl.com/KFSbrunch, just go to the Knicks Film School Twitter account and our pinned tweet, and it'll be on there as well. Okay, now we got to go. Take care, everybody. Peace out. Enjoy the rest of your week.